privilege to be among you tonight. I appreciate the spirit of the Lord in the building tonight. And you know, it's always a good song service, but it felt like that one was a little sweeter. I enjoyed that song the sisters sung, and I think they do a real good job of working together. And, turn that off. Everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Praise the Lord. That's I really appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight, and I've had an old thought that the Lord's had on my heart for a little while now, and I felt Him give me liberty to speak on it to you tonight, and I just pray that I can give it to you as good as it was to me. Have you ever cooked something, and He's like, you know what, you just took your time with it, and you really, really cooked it, and then He gave it to me, well, I promise you, that tastes a lot better when I was cooking it. Well, I believe the Lord will, He'll take control, and give it to you. Maybe you'll enjoy it as much as I did.
Amen.
Speak to you on made in God's image. Made in God's image. We can go to one scripture in Genesis 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And I'll tell you what, I love the scriptures. You know, I remember living with his brother Don Beavers years ago. He was talking and giving it as a testimony. That's the only reason I say this, because he gave it as a testimony over the pulpit, and I thought it was really good. It inspired me. But he had a past. And he's talking about how people have to do things to get themselves in the spirit. And he said, but you know what? He said, there was a time in my life when he said, I was in jail. He said, so you didn't have that music playing all the time. He said, but I would read the scriptures. He said, as I would read the scriptures, he said, I would get in the spirit by reading the scriptures. And I remember when I heard him say that was profound to me. And I thought, wow, who I never really thought about like that. And I've seen that in my own life where I would read the scriptures and get myself caught in the spirit. So I love the scriptures. Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. I ask you to touch each heart that's listening tonight, Lord, that they can swing their flesh subject to your word tonight, Lord. The flesh may be tired, Lord, but the inner man inside of us, it's hungry tonight, Lord. We ask you to come and feed us our portion, Lord, individually. Get eyeball to eyeball to each one, Lord, on each one's level, Lord, to meet their needs individually. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. In this scripture, God was actually speaking to his own life, but it was in a different manifestation. And he was talking about performing a work in man. And what I like about that is he's not doing a work with man, but God was doing, they were talking about doing a work in man. So God was fellowshipping with himself. God was talking to himself. He said, let us make man in our own image. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, who in the world is he talking to? You know, and then I realized later on that it was just a different manifestation of God. And I don't want to go too deep in it, but the message of the hour teaches us how it was the Logos of God. God would actually speak the word in the Logos of God, and God would actually look at it as a child playing in front of him.
Right.
But that God was speaking about his own life, and it was about God was going to do a work in man. And if man didn't have anything to do with it in the first place, about God going to make him in his own image, and we know that God made him a spirit at that point and then eventually gave him a body. But God is the one that instituted salvation. God's the one instituted, God's the Redeemer, He's the Savior, God's the one that meets the needs. And if God's the one that did this before man was even thinking about it, who was man to take the reins somewhere and say, you know what, we got it from here. And we'll do this. And but that's what the religious world has done. Businessmen have, and brother, you can listen to it even on the tapes of Brother Branham talking about, the businessmen were trying to take over the church and run the church like a business.
Right.
And you can run a business that way, and there are certain things you can do in a business, and that business will be successful. It'll grow. They'll have a business model, and you work according to that model. And as long as you're focusing on the model, the plan will work, and the business will actually grow. Well, they try to do the same thing in churches. They try to do it with the cigarette companies, the television companies. They would blow up the business by advertisements with cigarettes and TVs and different things like that. It would blow the business up, the cigarette companies up, the movie businesses up. It was a way of growth. It was a great way of making something grow. And it worked in a business. The churches, in the church world, they tried to do the church the same way. And it's worked as far as what they thought it would, because if you look around us, look how big the churches are. Look how big the organizations are. As far as a business model, they've done awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell me, look at Joe Osteen, the business model that they have, but where is God in all of it?
Right.
That's the thing about it. They have a business model, and it worked according to that, but where is God in all of their work? Is, you know, we can all put our work to something, but at the end of the day is, where is God in what I'm doing? And that's what's going to matter. I'm going to read a quote to you. It says, this Baptist preacher said, sitting right here before me, brother said, 10 of my members is total drunkards and members of this church. Some of them living with other men's wives, everything else. Said, what if I try to put them out? Said, you members would put me out. That's the way it's gone today. Denominations are breaking. God is pulling out his people, getting a church ready. Hallelujah. The very word church means the called out. Come out from among them, my people. Be ye separated, saith God, and I will receive you. It ain't riding on your denomination. Denominational church age is like Moses. It failed to go in. Moses glorified himself instead of God and failed. But Joshua was right with him all the time, which has took Israel over to the promised land. And today, the church denomination is going by who can get the most members, who can get this one to join a million more in 44, all these different slogans and things like that, and what have you got when you got them? Hallelujah. But Joshua, the signs and miracles and power that has been with the church all the time, and you're afraid to let it loose. That's the thing that will take the church into glory in the rapture. Hallelujah. Don't be scared. That means praise God. It won't hurt you. He's talking about how that people will hinder the move of God when God wants to begin to move in a person's life. I've actually seen that in a church service where the preaching will begin to move on somebody, or even a song will start to move on somebody. And you can see the movement begin to work in their life, and they'll start to praise the Lord, but they'll pull back. And they will move back. And that's what Brother Ben's talking about, that people will pull back from the pull of God when God wants to do a power in your life. God wants to move in your life. And I believe in the simple things of even worship, we can hinder God moving in our life, even in a service, because we pull back ourselves. The church is afraid of the very thing that was sent to set them free. And when Jesus was walking on the water, the disciples, whenever they saw Jesus walking on the water, they were actually afraid of him. I mean, knows that's true. When they saw him coming, they said, it's a ghost, it's a spirit. But they didn't. If they would have only realized, that's the one that they should be looking for. And a lot of times, a move of God, when God is trying to do a move in our life, a lot of times we're afraid of it.
Right.
We're afraid to let go. God sometimes wants you to stand up. I love that. And I believe it was less Sunday, I believe it was, Sister Laura, I believe it was the service, I'm going to call you out, sister, you just get ready for it. I saw her stand up and said, I'm going to praise the Lord, I don't care what my flesh is going to do. She stood up and started to praise her Lord, and you know what happened after that? Somebody else stood up, praise the Lord, somebody else stood up and praise the Lord, somebody else stood up and praise the Lord. When one movement, one will feel the unction of the Holy Ghost, what is it? It's a move of God. God is bringing a move to you, but it's what you do with that opportunity. And whenever she do that, chains can be broken. Now I realize somebody can go so far to the extreme and get messed up on that where all it is just emotion. But I'm talking about a real move of God when God inspires your heart to get up and say, praise the Lord, or inspire you to raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord. Whenever we pull back from that, we hinder a move of God. And I want every move of God, every capacity. There's a certain amount of water in this bottle. If that's my move of God that I can have, I want every single drop of it. Amen. And that's where I've got to be able to surrender to the Lord. It was the very thing, and they were afraid of it. This other quote, Brother Brim says, the Pentecostal people, when you were young, out here in these missions around, when Dr. Bosworth here, Brother Bosworth, and many of the others were little boys, preachers out here, you had little missions. You were made fun of, called holy rollers. You were young. You had nothing. How about that? You had nothing. God was with you. You wasn't ashamed of the gospel. You'd kneel in the street and pray with anybody wanting to be prayed for. You come to the altar, call the people up around the altar and stay there until they were filled with the Holy Ghost, tears running down their cheeks. You went out. You lived godly. But I'm afraid we've left Jesus behind. We've got bigger churches now. We've got better things. We got fine road choirs. We got pop organs. We got big fine buildings. We've went off without Jesus. Don't you believe that? And when you were young, you believed in divine healing. You believed in the working of miracles. You believed in all the supernatural gifts. But after we got big, we learned more about it. We went off without Jesus, just like they did, and trouble come in. I don't see how God could have mercy, but he does. Now, we don't have a big building here necessarily, because of our huge people, but we have to watch in ourselves that we don't find ourselves seeing ourselves big. We got a big house. We got a nice car. We've got a good job. We got these things. And when you find you're seeing yourself big, you begin to not see yourself needing to depend on God. And remember, these preachers were young. All they wanted was a move of God. And don't just look at the preachers. Look at you, brother and sister. Whenever what you wanted, all you wanted when you woke up, I want a move of God in my life. I don't care who's looking at me. If God moves on me in the middle of a store and wants me to start praising him, I want to be willing to start praising him. Don't worry about what people look at me. He's all these preachers. He said, if you want to pray for somebody, he said, you wouldn't care what people looked at. You would start praying right there. Why? Because you wanted a move of God more than what you cared what people thought. And I believe that's what we've got to get, brother and sister, is where our heart's desire, our aim, our devotion, the thing we are seeking for on a daily basis, I want a move of God. I want God in my church. I want God in my family. I want God in my car. I want God in everything. And my actions will prove what I desire. If I truly desire that, that means my actions will speak that I want a move of God. You know, my wife, she can't just be my wife if she wants my attention. There's things she can do to get my attention. And brother and sister, the church of the living God, the bride of Jesus Christ, we can't just be here and say, I want God's attention. There's got to be actions in our life that expresses what's in our heart of saying, God, I want your attention. I want to move from you. I want you to come on the scene. You know, you let a wife start dressing up a little bit. Next thing you know, that husband might talk about, you know, I'm going to take you on a date, sweetheart. My wife had her hair fixed tonight, and I said, I really like your hair like that. It looks really, really good. You know what made me start thinking? I need to take her out to dinner. You know what? I believe spiritually, we need to start getting our hair right. We need to do things. There's things that we can do individually of expressing, I want a move of God. Amen. Right after this quote of what I was reading this about Jesus, it talked about how that the disciples were afraid of him. We don't want to be afraid of a move of God. We want to expect a move of God. Right. We need to come to church. You will get what you expect. If you say, I'm expecting just to go to church and be a funny Daniel preaching, that's exactly what you'll get. But every service, you say, I want a move of God in this service. On your daily walk, I want a move of God when I'm doing laundry. I want a move of God. Brother Daniel, that's ridiculous. Well, maybe it's ridiculous because we're happy this way. Mm-hmm. You can have a move of God in whatever you're doing. Amen. But it's what you expect. Amen. Amen. Man gets too smart and gets too big in his house, and he begins to not even realize that he left Jesus behind because he got too big. And we are never to get big. We're always to get small.
Right.
And that's completely contrary to this world today. You know, we want to become this, the size of this pulpit, but really God wants to get us not even this big. The more God can chisel us, the littler we can become, the more God can use us.
Right.
Amen. At one time, the person's joy was to walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and it was to have the joy of the Lord. But one revival after another, one service after another, if we are not careful, it can become common. And service, that's right. At one time you're walking by stimulation, by revelation. At one time you're moving by excitement from the message, excitement from the word, but we're not meaning to, but being this flesh, it can become common. That's right. And we have, in this world, we have to fight this guy.
Right.
Because this guy will allow it to get common to you. Somewhere down the line, if you're not careful, you'll stop possessing the land. And you'll just start dwelling. And God has never called us to just dwell. Brother and sister, listen to what I'm saying. Every single person I'm talking to right now, we are all called to possess land. Possess more of God. Possess more of this because it's yours. God gave it to you. You're never called. We are never called to a point where, all right, you've arrived. You've plateaued. You just go to church now. You'll never get there. Service after service after service. What are we doing? We are striving to claim more land. Amen. How many wants more land? I want more land. Satan, you got to remember, we have an enemy. That enemy's here to fight you, but you got to remember, God's the one who called you. God's the one orchestrating you. God's the one doing it to you. And you got to claim your land. You need to claim your mountain.
Amen.
Amen. Just as the Lord strategically placed everything in creation for a specific purpose, man was created for a purpose, and therefore we must be placed also. In order for a creation to serve its purpose correctly, you know, you can't have palm trees as much as my wife would love to have them. She'd love to have palm trees around the swimming pool. Trust me, she wants them. It'll never work, you know, because it would be out of its place, you know. They might want to do fake ones, but it'll be no real ones. Because for that thing to orchestrate its place, palm trees have got to be where palm trees can live. And therefore, it will orchestrate and it will serve God's purpose. And just as sure as that palm tree will serve its purpose when it's positionally placed where it's supposed to be, brother and sister, we have got to be placed. And that's our striving. That's our goal. And on a daily basis, we are striving. God, I want to be placed in your word, for I am centered and resting in the position that you've called me as a son or daughter of God. Because whenever you are, you take someone that knows their position and they're good at it, they know who they are, they're good at their job. I believe Tony is a good pastor. Let me say that. I believe we're blessed. You know why? He knows his position. Because he's in his position and he's got people orchestrating around him, God can use that and work with that. Well, we don't just look at him and his position. Our position individually, you have got a position in Christ.
Amen.
And that's what you want to strive for, is strive for your position in Christ where God is using. Brother Tony used the example the other day about bringing the jar in of justification. Cleaning it up and washing it, as in cleaning it and setting it aside for service. But eventually, you got to fill the jar and put the thing in service. And brother and sister, that's the goal, is where we are put in service for God. Where you're not just brought in, you're not just clean, but you, individually, you are put in service for God. Well, you're alive. That's where you feel fulfilled. You take a bird, that bird will be happy in that nest for a little while, but eventually, that bird will feel unfulfilled. Feel unfulfilled. That sounds crazy, don't it? A bird will feel unfulfilled if it just sits in the nest, because that is not what that bird was called for. That bird was called to soar in the sky and use those wings and fly. And we as children of God, listen to what I'm saying, we as children of God that have the message, for a little while you can be okay with just coasting through life and going through service, but eventually you will start to feel unfulfilled. You will start to feel a void in your life. You'll start feeling. And Satan uses that opportunity of time to tempt with the world. Because you're going to fill that void in your life where there's something missing. There's got to be something more to this. And the Satan will, at that point, show you the world. And that's when he'll give you different things. What are you doing? Trying to fill that void in your life, and you're in church the whole time.
Right.
But what it is, that void that you're filling, is God is calling you to a position to where you are beginning to use the word as an eagle would. And you're being able to fight your battles, and you're knowing who you are. You're seeking, you're calling an election, sure, every day, using the word, using the word, using the word. And that's what God's calling you to. But if you're not careful doing that, Brother Tony actually mentioned it tonight. I didn't think about this now. But Tony actually mentioned tonight of how dangerous of a time that is. Whenever you're after justification, you go to sanctification, where you're just sitting there, because a lot of time a person will feel like they've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost when they don't. They're just in sanctification. They've cleaned themselves, but they've never felt that Holy Ghost. And listen to what I'm saying. And whenever you don't have that Holy Ghost, that's the void people are filling. Whenever they're sitting in a church the whole time, they fill a void inside their life. It's because they need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that will fill that void where you can actually be put into service for God. And then that's where that eagle can really start to fly. That's when the word will truly begin to really open up to you. Because God's not going to open his word up to you all the way until you are clean and you are cleansed and you're filled with that spirit. Is that true? Whenever you surrender to the word, as same as my wife, I would not completely reveal myself to her until I see that she has truly accepted me and my name of who I am. She's going to be my wife, and she's going to bear my children the way I want them to be. She's going to bear my life the way I want them to be. And that's when I will put my name upon her.
Right.
And you know what? That's what we want. We desire him to put his name upon us. How many churches out there, have a name? They have a stamp saying they have the name of God upon them, the name of Jesus Christ. But look at the life that they live. So it's not them that puts their name on it. It's when God puts his name upon it. See, anybody can say, well, I've got the name of God. I've got the Holy Ghost. It's not them saying with their mouth that makes it so. What makes it so? It's when God signifies, I put the Holy Ghost inside this person.
Right.
I testify that they've got the Holy Ghost. So it's not our testimony. It's his testimony. It's when God will signify. Whenever at Goshen, when they put the blood on the door and the death angel come by, they can say with their mouths all the time, I've got the token applied. I've got the blood applied. That's one voice. But it's not their voice that counts. It's God's voice. And what's the evidence that God's voice? It's when the death angel passed. Because when the death angel passed, that was God's voice saying, I have seen the blood.
Amen.
Amen. It's whenever God is testifying, God is saying, I have filled this soul with the Holy Ghost. I have put my life inside them. And the way you can tell is we are bearing his image.
Amen.
Our life is bearing his image. Not just our mouth. Our mouth should say it too. But it's when our life is bearing the image of God. It's when God is testifying. It's when God is recognizing. Amen. Each of the planets are positioned in place in such a place to where everything works together in harmony. All of God's creation works in harmony when everything's in its correct place. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that be the so, brother and sister, listen, if the planets get out of their place a little bit, if animals get out of their place a little bit, chaos happens. You take a polar bear and you try to put him here in Arkansas, he'll die real quick. Humidity and everything, he's out of his place. He's out of his position. And in the same way it is with us, when you take a family that is, everyone is not in their position, there will be chaos. There will be planets we hit, just as sure as planets will be hitting one another, family will be hitting one another. You take churches where people are not in their place, they'll start bickering. They'll cause chaos. What is it? Because you're out of position. And brother and sister, we want to know our position. I don't want Brother Tony's position. I want him to do that, but you know, I have no desire to be a pastor. That's Brother Tony's job. I don't want that. He said, Brother Daniel, what's that got to do with me? Because there's so many times a person said, they should preach this. They should preach that. They should preach this. You know what they're saying? Not meaning to. I won't be the preacher. A person said, why don't he preach this? Why don't he preach that? It's because they're out of their position. Rather than letting the pastor or the preacher preach what God laid on their heart to preach. How many knows what I'm talking about? This old flesh guy right here, a lot of times, he thinks he knows more than everybody else. Is that true or not?
Right.
We got to know our position in a family. Listen to me. The more we can find our position, the more harmony there will be around us. I like harmony. And I hate chaos. I hate drama. Something happened at work and stuff was going on and it's going to do that and I just walked away. They started talking about it and I just walked away. Went over and sat down, and my manager walked over and sat beside me. He said, Daniel, I'm sorry about that. I said, buddy, I just hate drama. I said, I don't want to be around it. I don't want to listen to it. I don't want to talk about it. So I just walked away. He said, well, I noticed that. He said, I am sorry. I wish I had took him somewhere else and did the talking or whatever. It's because, you know, we don't like drama. Is that true?
Right.
We want peace. We want
right.
joy. Amen. This in our heart, that's what we want. But it's Satan's job to afflict chaos. In your life. It's Satan's job to afflict chaos. Let me give you a perfect example. I told Brother Tony back there. He said, Brother Daniel, how's the auto sales going? I said, well, brother, I've got two cars out, and that makes a total of $400 for the month. And we're halfway through the month. I said, in my flesh, it was just starting to get panicky. And in my flesh, I was standing outside. I was looking at the lot out there. And in my flesh, I was looking at the circumstances. In my flesh, I was seeing, I don't have any deals working. I don't have any customers coming. I don't have this going. In my flesh, you got this going. You got bills coming. You're planning on going for 2 weeks next month. You got, it's always worry, 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 trying to do that. And I felt a still, small voice just come down and said, the only person that's worried. Lord, you are so right. You are so right. When in the world have I ever been the one that's ever made the car deals? When in the world have I ever been the one that called someone to bring them up there? When have I ever done anything? I fail at everything that I try. I can't sing, I can't play, I can't do nothing. But look who God gave me as a wife. Look who God gave me as children. Look who God gave me as brothers and sisters. Look who God gave me as friends. I ain't good at nothing. You can look at some brothers, they can play the piano real good, or the guitar real good, or they can sing real good, they can do all kinds of things real good, and you can look at it and say, that's why they have friends, they're good at stuff. I'm not good at anything, it seems like. Half the times I go fishing, I don't catch nothing. Probably three-quarters of the time I don't catch nothing. Why are they your friends, Brother Daniel? Because of God. It's because God looked down upon me and God saw something inside me that I would love, that I love God. And I promise you, when they go fishing, it ain't because they're hoping they're going to catch fish, because I don't catch nothing, usually. It's God's grace. It's God's grace. And the more, I believe, brother and sister, the more we can see that how little we are. We have nothing in ourselves. Nothing! It's only Him. He's the one that meets our needs. He's the one that provides for us. He's the one that is mindful of us. And the more we can stay humble and little enough to acknowledge, God, I can plant the seeds on the ground. I can do all I want to. But if you don't shine and get your favor on it, it ain't going to produce nothing. Because we need His favor. Amen. We need God's favor in our marriage. We need God's favor in the church. We need God's favor in our home. We need God's favor in our job. We need God's favor with our children. I hear all the time of people say, ask my children, their age, I'll tell them, I say, oh, well, so sorry for you. My daughter, sometimes I just want to slap her. She talks bad about me. She talks back to me. She does all these things. And I just have to humbly say, don't err to me. Humbly say, thank you, Lord. That's right. Listen, talking about their boys sneaking out in the middle of the night and going through it and doing nonsense and drinking and doing all those things. I just have to say, thank you, Lord. Because it's His grace. Amen. It's not because we are so good. It is His grace. Amen. And we're talking about position. The more we can hone down in our position, the more a wife can hone down in her position and bear that name of, say, I took this name, and you live according to that name in that marriage, you watch God will bless that marriage and bring it home. My wife knows how to fix her hair to catch my attention. My wife knows the dress to wear to catch my attention. And that's what I want to catch. Please catch what I'm trying to say. We don't want to just coast through life. We want to live a fiery marriage. Amen. We want a fiery walk with God, where there's an intimate walk with God, where Amen. God is working intimately with our life, it's a joy to pray to look to the Lord. It's a joy to serve the Lord. It's a joy to be married. My girls, Rachel, she's one of us. My wife come through and I had my shirt that I have on right now and the tie, and she made a comment of something of a good looking man walking through there or something like that. And the kids all kind of squirm and look at one another, and she said, what? She said, how do you think we've been married for 20 years? She said, it's because we love one another. Brother and sister, you take that same thing spiritually. It's where it's a joy. Where I want, whenever we see a move of God, we're like, that's the good looking God that I serve. Amen. That's the God I serve. It don't matter if someone sings good. You see what I do. I don't fish good. I don't sing good. I definitely don't look good. It's God's grace. By God's grace, He's blinded that woman where she thinks I'm handsome. I thank God for it. But whenever she sees the cloud and the size of a man's hand, she says, that's my good-looking husband. And she sees a move in it. She gets excited about it. And brother and sister, we got to be that same way about a move of God. Whenever you see God moving, even in a little bit, you say, praise God. God is good. God is moving. God is happy. God is moving in our family. God is moving in my home. And we got to have our confidence back in prayer. When we say prayer changes things. Brother Brennan talked about how he saw that eagle and how he said, I could shoot that eagle if I wanted to. He said, that eagle wasn't scared of him. He said, he looked at that eagle kept moving his wings just like that. And I've said this many, many times, but I believe it to be
that whenever trouble comes, all I got to do is depend on my provided way that God gave me in these ways. And brother and sister, God has given us two wonderful things, a message and prayer. Amen. But we can change things with prayer. Amen. We can change things by looking at the Word. Amen. I know I'm getting close on time, but I really want to hit a couple of things. So please just stay with me just for a little bit longer. And the children of Israel, whenever they were going to take the land, they had to keep the Ark of the Covenant in front of them. Not beside them. Not them in front of it. They had to keep the Ark of the Covenant in front of them. That way they could tell when that Ark of the Covenant moves, they move. And they've got to, and that's the problem. Listen to what I'm saying. We want to keep the Word in front of us before we start making our decisions and start making changes. And a lot of times, that's why we make mistakes, is we move without consulting the Lord. We need to wait on the Lord and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And before we start going out and tackling something, make sure God is leading you to do it. Because whenever God helped me, anytime God was leading the children of Israel, anytime they were walking in full obedience to the Word, and God said, you go fight these people, and they went according to God's plan, they got the victory. And they defeated the enemy. But it's whenever they allowed sin to come into the camp. It's whenever unbelief began to come in the camp, that's when they started losing men. That's when they started losing battles. It's whenever they allowed sin to get in the camp. When they allow unbelief to get into the camp. And brother and sister, we will be that same way. If we allow sin to enter into our camp, if we allow unbelief to come into our camp, we will start losing battles. I mean, what I'm talking about, look at the tent. He had the garment, the vase under their tent, and they lost men. And Joshua called the assembly and said, "All right, we found sin in the camp. There's something's happened because we don't lose battles.
Right.
What's happened here?" And who was that, brother?
Achan.
Thank you, brother. My mind completely forgot his name. Whenever they saw that, he said, we don't lose battles. Why have we lost battles here? We have lost battles. We need to call an assembly. We need to find what's going on here. Why are we losing battles? And they saw that sin had come into the camp. And listen to what I'm saying. If we find ourselves and we're saying, the chaos is here constantly. The stress is here constantly. We're losing battles. We're losing this battle. We're losing this battle. We need to call an assembly upon ourselves and be honest. Is there sin in my camp? Because I don't want that in my life. Now, that doesn't mean just because you have battles, you've got sin in your camp. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what? When I go through a pressure, the first thing I start doing is checking myself. Is there something? And then once I know my heart, my conscience is pure before God, I can stand my ground and say, devil, I'm taking your head off. Because whenever you are pure before God, you're pure before the Word, you are pure where you can talk to God and your heart does not condemn you, you can have confidence with God. And then you can recognize this is an enemy. And listen, a lot of times we got to recognize we have an enemy. And that enemy will come and he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. It's his purpose. God's come that we can have life and have it abundantly.
Amen.
God has come that you can have life.
Amen.
You can have joy. You can have peace.
Amen.
You can have love. You can have long suffering. You have brotherly kindness. Amen. You can bear fruit in the Spirit. You can be happy.
Amen.
You can walk with a bounce in your step. You can do that. God has called you to be happy, to be joyful, to have something, an abundance. How many wants to be happy?
Amen.
Be joyful.
Amen.
Absolutely. So I'm not trying to say, you've got sin in your life. That's not what I'm saying. Check yourself. Is there sin in my life? If there is, get it under the blood. Once it's under the blood, if there's nothing there, praise God. If it is, that's when you can fight that devil with sure foot, sure standing, and say, I know who I am. I know this is the devil. God said I could have peace here, and I want the peace. And you claim that victory. You watch God give you the victory.
Amen.
God will give you the peace. Okay, one more thing to read. Let's go to Joshua 3, 1 through 5. Who knows Joshua is a type of the end time ministry?
and Caleb, the end-time believer. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and come to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it come to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go away. I want you to hold this right here for just a second. When you see the priest of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Levites is the top of the fivefold ministry, and it's giving the word. And when you see the word preached, go after it. Leave where you're at. Leave your place and go after it. Because when you do it, you're going to win battles. Everybody wants to win battles. I want to win battles. This is how you do it. When the word is being preached, leave from your place. Now, I know it may be contrary. I may go, yeah, all this going on. Leave your place and go after it. And you're going to start winning battles. Okay, go to the next scripture. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not nearer to it, that ye may know the way which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And that's what I'm saying. Sanctify yourselves. If you're going through something and you see the Ark of the Covenant movement, the thing we all got to do, all these 10 fingers are pointing toward Brother Daniel. Sanctify yourself and be ready to move with God when God's ready to move. Amen. Hold that word in front of you, because it's way up there. If it moves left, you're going to move left. If it moves right, you're going to move right, because you've got it in its right place. And we've got to have the word in the right place in our perspective. In our attitude, the way we look at it. Because you can tell if the word's in the right place because your actions will say. Our actions will testify where the word's at in our perspective. Hold the word in front of you and listen to me. Leave. Whenever the word tells you to do something, get up and move to it. And you will see that you will start winning battles. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's all speak. We don't want to be just dwellers. We won't be possessors, takers. Where you are taking land, taking land, taking land, taking land. And whenever we're doing that, brothers, this is how we do it. It's whenever we are keeping our eyes upon that word. And whenever it's being preached, whenever the songs are coming through, you are focusing on that word. But scriptures, how many times does scripture say, be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Doers of it. Because if you don't, you're looking at the glass. That's like looking at the hair and the mirror and seeing your hair all messed up and you don't do nothing about it. That's whenever you see it, something, that the word being preached to you, and you see your hair's out of place, fix the hair. Get a wrinkle up, fix the wrinkle. And then service by service by service, what's being preached to us, take it and put it and say, Lord, I want the change. I want to take my land. What's your giant? Every person in here's got a giant. You got something that the devil will try to hold on to you. He'll try to hide you. He'll try to scare you. He'll try to put fear in your heart. He'll try to cause you to where you just dwell. Listen to me. You are not called to just dwell. You are called to possess. Amen. You're called to grow. Right.
Oh, that's a tremendous thought that we should honor ourselves with when Joshua saw that they lost the battle. I've thought about that in the past and I've kind of forgotten about it before the name was in it tonight, but you know, just imagine that they went out and God had promised them victories. And they, Joshua knew enough to know that when they lost some men in battle, something was wrong. And he pulled back and said, we got to check up and see what's happening. You know, if we could really arm ourselves that in our daily walk, in our daily life. You know, Brother Branham said, I have never prayed a prayer but what God answered it or told me why he couldn't answer it. Think about that. Can you imagine walking in a position with God where you know that God's going to answer your prayer or at least tell you why he can't answer it? Because maybe there's something in the way that someone needs, you know, to confess sin or something, and whatever it may be. But, you know, if we can disarm ourselves with that understanding that God expects us to have victory in our life every day. And Brother Daniel's right. See, life doesn't just dwell. Like, you know, every cell in your body, you have to keep rejuvenating.
That's right.
Constantly. And God wants us to constantly rejuvenate, but not just dwell. Anything that's alive is an expansionist, right? Expands. Anything that's living wants to reproduce and expand and grow and become more and more. And that's the way the gospel is life. Life in us, and God, his whole purpose in us is that we would expand into more of God, more of his nature, more of his image, to be more like him. Amen? And so when we look at what we see in our lives, and things aren't just exactly what we know the scripture said, then we should do what Joshua did and back up and say, what's the matter? Because we know that God has promised great victories and growth and strength in our lives. And so we can have it. Amen? God's not, he's not a short circuit, right? He's doing his part. And so that's what it is for us to do that. Another striking thing Brother Daniel mentioned there was when they came to cross over Jordan, that ark represented the word. And he told those people, he said, listen, you've not been down this road before. You don't even know where you're going. That's the way we are. We do not know the pathway out of this world into that kingdom we want in our hearts. Right? But the scripture said that they were to follow the priest. And the priest would carry that word, carry that ark, that promise. When they would carry it, the people were to watch that. And they were cautioned, hey, pay attention. And when you see those priests take that ark and you see them begin to carry that out into the midst of that water to take them over into that, across that Jordan, they were told, when you see that, then you rise up and you follow that. Because that's going to take you the way you've never been before, a way that you don't know. But by following that ark, by following those Levites, you'll know that's the way to go. And that's where it is for us today, to follow that word. We've not seen the word in previous years. The word had not shown us three pools. The word had not shown us a theophany that we have there waiting for us. The word had not shown us things, but now we watch the word, and the word is saying these things to us. And so now we are to follow this word because it is taking us down a pathway that's going to cross us over. Amen? By end time ministry, Joshua, which is Jehovah's Savior, the same thing as Jesus. Amen? And that's what's here now. May the Lord richly bless Brother Daniel for his efforts and also for Sister Brittany to come all this distance by herself. When I say by herself, I mean without her husband. And with these three boys with her, they're a handful. And so this is a real thing for her to come. And so we just ask the Lord to totally, completely replenish her sevenfold. And it's always a blessing to have them among us. I know they can't always do it, but God sees. Sees the effort of everyone. He sees our sister raising and worshiping the other day, and he sees and he notices it all. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and pray again. Lord, we thank you for what we heard tonight. you just allow us to take these things into our hearts and remember them. Lord, that we find battles each day, but it is your purpose, your plan in our lives, Lord, that we have victories. It's not to say we won't have battles, but Lord, I believe that you want us to have victory every time. And so I pray, God, that we just remember that when we're in the battles, to hold to that word. Watch that Ark of that Covenant as it passes in this direction that you're taking us. We just love you, Lord. We thank you for what we heard tonight. We just ask, Lord, that you bless each one as they go. Those that are missing, we pray, God, that you would just touch their lives and help them, Lord, and bring us back to